Tandem Nomads, Episode 6, Expatriation as a Couple, Building a Strong and Successful Partnership. A relationship based on agreements, consensus, and trust in a changing life environment. One can thrive during a nomadic journey even when traveling in the backseat of a tandem. It is all about coordination, communication in the team, and resilience when riding uphill. Welcome to Tandem Nomads, where inspiring expat partners from around the world share with you how they turn the challenges of relocation into great opportunities. Every Monday, you will be able to hear their stories, and every Thursday, I will bring to you great insights, tips, and advice on specific topics and challenges of relocation. So are you following your partner abroad for his or her career? Do you feel the need to build your own source of accomplishment besides being a great partner and a great parent? Then Tandem Nomads is the place for you. Go to tandemnomads.com and sign up for the newsletter. Hello, Nomad Nation. This is Emel Teregi, and today's topic is going to be about all the vocabulary and semantic around expat partner. The word or the many other words that are used to describe people who live in our situation, men and women who travel the world with their partners and their family to support the careers. So when the idea of addressing expat partners' challenges through a podcast started growing in my head, I needed to find some validation that I was on the right track and that there was a real demand for the topic. The first thing I did was obviously Google. When I opened my laptop and put my fingers on top of my keyboard, I was like, okay, what am I going to type actually? What am I going to write down? How do we describe people who are in this situation? Crazy, I never thought about it before. So I said to myself, let me just be pragmatic here. And I just typed follow husband abroad, which was exactly my situation, and thought was the situation of many other women. And I realized a lot of men too. So when I typed that sentence, follow husband abroad on Google, I was really, really far from imagining that it was going to be the start of a huge inner journey for me, but also what inspired me to name Tandem Nomads the way I did. The first thing was the fact that I immediately stumbled with the word expat. The first most common word that appeared was expat. And I was like, what? Expat? Actually, I never called myself an expat. I never identified with this word. I never even thought about it. And I was wondering how come, you know, how come I just never identified with it. And so I started thinking and I realized that it might have something to do with my personal story, as expats usually have a home to go to, a home to come back to, even if repatriation itself can be difficult. But I don't have a home to go to. Everywhere I go and I settle is a home to me, and I just make sure that I feel home there. Not easy, but this is my reality. I've been living all my life abroad, and abroad is home. I was raised abroad. If I really had to put a label on my life and my type of situation, I'd just call myself a global citizen. I actually did this since I was a child. I used to say to people that I was a global citizen. Well, obviously, global citizen is taken. I couldn't call my podcast global citizen, and it's taken for a good cause. So I had to keep searching. So yeah, no, I never identified myself as an expat. And after long considerations, I realized that although living abroad was a routine for me, my natural behavior in every country is to make sure that I integrate it to the local culture as much as possible. Especially in France, where I started living my first years as a teenager and then as an adult. The first years where I started actually building the basis of my identity. I have been juggling all my life between being a citizen, a foreigner, an alien, an immigrant, and an expat, and also a nomad, without even realizing or wondering how to call myself. Going back again to the word expat, I took a moment to think about it, but also spent some time searching what it really meant. Well, there is another debate online about the definition of what is an expat, but I will skip it for now, otherwise we won't get to the point of this podcast topic. But here is what I decided. I decided to focus on the short term, which is approximately 2 to 5 years, and frequent aspect of moving to foreign countries for job assignments when the employers being usually the ones initiating or supporting the relocation process. So this is the definition of expatriation that I chose to use as a basis for this podcast, which helped me to make my peace with the word and just accept that I am an expat wherever I go, and sometimes even in my own country. However, nomad is still the word that I prefer most. First, I find it has a romantic and poetic aspect to it. Okay, it's just maybe my personal feeling, but this is how I feel about the word nomad. But most importantly, while it brings up the short-term aspect that I was talking about our lifestyles, it also contains for me the important concept of integration, adaptation, flexibility, but also strong identity and culture related to being a nomad. Okay, not to mention that being originally from Algeria, I have some Bedouin genes in my blood. So I guess nomad makes sense. Yeah, the first word that came up was expat. I made my peace with the word. I call myself now a serial expat, but also like to call myself a nomad. So, okay, we've settled down this aspect of traveling the world. But then there was the other aspect of it, which is traveling not for my job, but for the job of my partner and the job for the partners of all those who travel around the world. Now that I was settled with the word expat, there was another word that appeared on my search engine on multiple occasions. So many articles and official reports designating women and men who travel with their spouses to support their career, they call them trailing spouse. Seriously? Trailing spouse? Even in the series that is set in the 19th century that's called The Little House on the Prairie, Charles Ingalls' wife, Caroline, sits next to him on the trail. She was not dragged along behind, which is literally the definition of trailing spouse. Okay, maybe not on a grammatic standpoint. Grammatically, trailing spouse is the spouse that trails something behind. Her life? But it is definitely how it rings to my ears, trailing spouse, that this woman or this man who gets dragged along behind. And this is something that I wasn't very comfortable with. Anyways, after this shocking semantic discovery, here I was again going through another cruise searching for the origins of such a crazy word, trailing spouse. Well, the positive thing about what I found out is that somebody was already sensitive to this topic in the 80s, before even the burst of globalization that made expat travel the world. So the word trailing spouse seemed to appear for the first time in a Wall Street Journal article that was titled "Problems of Two Korean Families Start Forcing Businesses to Adapt." An article written by Mary Bralov in July 81. Wow. So I was like, in the 80s? There's somebody who started already thinking, okay, trailing spouses are forcing businesses to adapt. Isn't that crazy? So I couldn't find the article, but I'll keep searching and hopefully even reach Wall Street Journal to ask them to share this article with us. But this is my point. 35 years later, the topic is more vivid than ever. Nowadays, a lot of people still use this term trailing spouse, and it's actually the term that's officially used in a lot of like official studies and researches. Even if I'm still hesitant when I use the term trailing spouse, actually, honestly, for the sake of a search engine optimization of my blog, once in a while, I might use this word, and probably more in a debatable purpose. In fact, with my online search, I also discovered that the debate on the semantics of trailing spouse is as vivid as the topic itself. it opened up multiple trials and new ways to designate women and men who make the choice to start a new adventure and travel to foreign countries where their partners get assigned for their jobs. It was quite crazy for me to discover that not only the topic of expatriation as a partner is a huge issue, even more than I thought, but also the designation of this population was a huge debate online. I'm going to list for you some of the designations I found, some of the semantics that are used to speak of expat partners and tandem nomads. I'm going to list them and give you a little bit of my input in it. You might agree, you might not, but I'm very open to a debate too here, so don't hesitate to leave your comments and share your feedback. So let me start here real quickly with these acronyms that I found, because I don't want to spend too much time on it because they're not the most used. You have this acronym called STUDS, Spouse Trailing Under Duress Successfully, and STARS, Spouses Traveling and Relocating Successfully. Okay, I'm not sure I'm going to comment too much on this one, but it's my lips are burning to just say, like, seriously, again? It just seems for me like trying too hard to justify something that we don't need to justify. We're not superstars because we travel the world, because we sacrifice our career for others. We have some merit, yes, but I don't think that we should feel so defensive about it, and this is what studs and stars make me feel like. I don't know about you, but let's get to those who are the most used. Besides trailing spouse that I explained earlier, it's dependent spouse, which is sometimes the official administrative designation, for example, on visas, resident permits, or other administrative documents. As offensive as it could sound, if a spouse does not work and depends financially on her or his partner's income, this is actually just a realistic descriptive term, dependent spouse. However, definitely not a positive one and a little bit stigmatizing. Dependent rings for me with inactive, useless, lazy, all sorts of things that dependent spouses are not. It would be just difficult for me to call myself dependent spouse. I don't know about you. It's just that I don't feel that dependent. The second one that I found was accompanying spouse. Another administrative term, actually. I had to think about it. But it makes me think a lot of, should I say it? A dog or an escort. This is the first image that came to my mind. Well, I know, I'm exaggerating a bit, but it doesn't do it for me. Maybe you can tell me if it works for you. The next word, the next vocabulary that's used to talk of expat partners is expat spouse. Okay, we're getting very close to what for me could be acceptable. As I said, I made my peace with the word expat. However, here is a practical remark that makes me rarely use this term. Although most expat couples are married, sometimes not because they believe in the institution of marriage, but because it is the only way for them to get a residence permit for the both of them. Although most expat couples are married, not all of them are. Also, marriage per se is not the issue of the expat spouse challenges in relocation. Marriage does come with certain challenges that can be exacerbated in expatriation, but they are not the major cause. The challenges of relocation are actually the same whether the couple is married or not. Actually, it might even be a little worse if the couple is not married. So, expat spouse, not the most pragmatic definition for nowadays, for the way our societies evolve today. And here we come to the word expat partner. It's actually not that much used. Most of the words I just listed are the most common ones. But I hope and I think that the term expat partner is the one that's likely to become the most common. This is the term that speaks the most to me, like I said. I believe that this is what expatriation as a couple should be about. Building a strong and successful partnership. A relationship based on agreements, consensus, and trust in a changing life environment. Also, this term sounds to me the simplest way to include in the picture female and male partners, but also lesbian, gay, and bisexual couples. Other important topics that and challenges of relocation that need to be addressed. Finally, there is the term tandem nomads. Okay, that is the term that I came up with in the middle of a sleepless night after spending days searching on all these semantics and looking for a name for my podcast. I needed a name that could be easily remembered, that referred to the philosophy that I believe in behind the expatriation as a couple, and also that didn't exist. So it is the name that does speak to my heart. Just as the term expat partner, it focuses on the team effort to build a successful journey. It shows the active role in the success of a journey of the one paddling on the backseat. It connotates with moving forward. It also gives the possibility to include more than two people when traveling as a family with kids. I find it to be a great metaphor to express my belief that one can thrive during a nomadic journey even when traveling in the backseat of a tandem. It is all about coordination, communication in the team, and resilience when riding uphill. So this is what inspired me to call this podcast you're listening to Tandem Nomads. I would conclude this episode by mentioning that I do agree with those who say, does it really matter what we are called? Do we really need to be labeled? I am who I am, I have a name, and that's it. Settling, for instance, for the term expat partner does not mean that we are all identical, that we all have the same issues and the same opinions and the same lifestyle. However, this objection could apply to any other labels of a group of people, for example, mothers. Some mothers refuse to be called just mothers. I've seen that a lot, especially when they feel that it is the only identity and role that their society is labeling them with. Mothers can be so many other things than just mothers, even if it's one of the most beautiful things in the world to be a mother. But when they want to solve their challenges related to being a mother, well, mothers call themselves mothers. Therefore, I think that we need to call a cat a cat. We do need to agree on a term to designate a situation and a growing global population that faces with very common and serious challenges, one of them being, in fact, identity reconstruction. And this is something we will talk a lot about in Tandem Nomads. It's actually one of the pillars of Tandem Nomads, how to build a strong identity and to thrive in a nomadic journey as an individual within a relationship and a family. So I hope that this episode was useful to you. I wanted to share with you all those words that exist. I will use most often the term expat partner, and once in a while I will also use the others so that other people can find us. But the point here is, let's all get together and turn the challenges of relocation into great opportunities. Nomad Nation. Do you feel sometimes you would like to find people who can really understand the challenges that you are going through? Find people with whom you can talk about those challenges and who could really understand you? Or do you feel like you could help other expat partners around the world with your great experience and tips? If it's the case, then don't wait any longer. Go to facebook.com and join the incredible Tandem Nomads community. Type Tandem Nomads on the search bar, you will find the Facebook page. I invite you to like it. And you will also find the Facebook private group. Just ask to be admitted and I will gladly do so. Go to facebook.com, type Tandem Nomads.